and welcome to AA Mission On Air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna, I'm an alcoholic, and I will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Dorian, Louise and Daniel, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So I'd firstly like to introduce our first speaker this morning, who is Dorian. Would you like to share with us?
Of course. Hi, my name's Dorian and I'm an alcoholic. Right, so the other day I was actually lying in my bed and I was trying to explain my upbringing and my background to someone who lived a completely different life to anything that I can even associate as normal. So the other day I was explaining to her that when I was growing up, my perception of it as an adult, I used to look back at my past and blame my past for the reasons why I would drink. And when I was a kid, at the very start of my life, some of my earliest memories that I can never remember was I competed as a gymnast at a highly competitive level. So discipline was in full force in my younger years. Like I said, some of my earliest memories are getting told to point my toes, keep my legs straight, do this trick, that trick, and I would compete at, again, an extremely high level, and I was fourth ranking gymnast in the south of the UK. In my early years, discipline was paramount. I came from a loving, caring, respectful family. It was me, my mom, my little sister, and my dad, until it wasn't. Overnight, one night, my dad just, he left, he ran away, and what then happened was my mom got a new husband. What happened with this? My mom never felt like she had a childhood, so she allowed herself to go a tiny bit wild. And with that, things started happening in the house, strange things. For about 4 years as a kid, I would listen to my mom getting beaten up by my stepdad, day in, day out. And again, they're some of the earliest memories that I can remember. My next early memory was my stepdad giving me a guitar. On this guitar, I would play day in, day out. And where I went from a household with high rules, high discipline to pretty much nothing, I mean, as a kid, I got pretty good at playing guitar because there was no bedtime. And with this, the more that I played guitar, the better I got. And the better I got, I started playing in bands. And what then happened as a kid? Even though monkey see, monkey do, I would very often copy my stepdad's behavior and drink at any hour of the day as a little kid. What would happen is the older kids would notice me. They would notice me playing guitar and they would invite me into bands. On my next early memory that I can remember, at about the age of 14, I started touring the UK in a punk band. And even though there was chaos going on at home, in my personal life, I was a successful guitarist at the age of 14. I was traveling the country, and other kids in my year, they looked at me as the cool kid. And what then happened, this definitely developed character in me. And when I was explaining this story to this girl the other day, she seemed horrified by the fact that my stepdad used to beat up my mom. But sure, that was only one part of my story, and sometimes perception is key, and perception is king. Because of him, even though he never beat me up, he actually gave me the guitar, which then allowed me to develop as a person. Sure, he used to drink, and so did I, but I didn't have to carry on when I realized that I didn't want to anymore, and it was destroying my life. And because of him, I seen such a beautiful side of humanity when I was a kid, because I was viewed as one of, if not the most popular kids in my school, because of my guitar playing and the fact that this 14-year-old kid was traveling the country in a punk band. And where other kids looked at me as a popular kid or as a desirable kid, they would treat me as such. So again, even though there was chaos in my home life, there was so much beauty going on in my personal life. And sometimes, when life gets hard, how do you not know that you're only focusing on one specific thing instead of seeing the beauty all around you, all of the blessings? And without Alcoholics Anonymous, I truly don't think that I would have been able to get there. So for that, I am wholeheartedly grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorian. That was great. Thank you for sharing with us. Louise, would you like to share your story with us?
Thanks, Anna. Hi, I'm Lou. I'm an alcoholic. My drinking started when I was 13. I came from a loving family, middle class, good education, but the people that I was friends with, they liked to drink, and they could do it moderately, but when I took my first drink, I got wasted straight away, blacked out. My friends had to call my parents to come pick me up because I'd combed out on a beach. That should have been a warning, perhaps, that maybe alcohol wasn't very good for me, but it made me feel included with the popular kids, so I kept doing it. I tended to gravitate towards people that drank like me, and people that didn't drink, I thought they weren't cool. My friends and I would drink a lot. I had more guy friends than girlfriends because it was more socially acceptable for guys to drink the way that I drank as a female. My drinking continued into my 20s. It became one of the most important things in my life. When there were parties or gigs that we wanted to go to, for me, it wasn't about seeing the artist or seeing the people at the party. It was about the drinking and being able to drink as much as I wanted to in a social environment. A lot of the times, if we were going to a gig, I would end up combed out on the couch or in someone's bedroom because I drank too much and didn't even make it to the gig, which at the time I didn't really see was a problem. I went overseas for a couple of years and ended up just drinking as much as I did over here. There were some drugs involved, but my main love was alcohol because that had been with me from the beginning. I put myself in very dangerous situations. Many, many times throughout my teenage years, 20s and 30s. And it's amazing that I am still alive today. I now believe that someone or something was watching over me because there are some instances that I put myself into that, like I say, I'm amazed that I survived. Fast forward to me in my mid-30s, and I was drinking alone every night because I was embarrassed to let my friends see how much I was actually drinking. It had gotten to the point where I would drink at least a bottle of wine before I even went to someone's house for pre-drinks. I'd had my own pre-drinks before the pre-drinks. It was just a necessity because I knew that I needed more alcohol than everyone else to get on the same level. Again, that didn't really worry me. I just found a way around it. it wasn't until a series of events that I did not plan led me to a therapist that suggested I try AA. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, had been suggested to me many times before, but I always dismissed it because that was just for old men who drank in parks, and I was much classier than that. Coming into the rooms, though, I would see people that looked normal, and they were well-dressed, they spoke coherently. It was a relief to see that and listen to their stories. They would tell stories of how they would do the things that I would do. And through the fellowship of AA and working the steps and having a sponsor, they no longer did that. For me, I thought alcohol was going to be a daily part of my life forever. Like, actually, that I would not go a day without drinking. Because towards the end, I was dependent on alcohol. It wasn't so much that I wanted to drink, it was that I needed to drink. If I went a day without drinking, I was violently ill and I couldn't get out of bed. But if I drank, that would stop that, and I'd feel better again. There were a few instances where I literally almost killed myself by accident, burning down the house because I'd left something cooking and comed out on the couch. Woke up to a house full of smoke. And the fire alarms going off, that because I'd just been drunk, I hadn't woken up. So again, that was very lucky. Coming into AA completely changed my life. It was really scary. I was scared to give up alcohol because alcohol had been my best friend for over 25 years. It was a constant in my life. But coming to AA gave me the support that I needed. I tried many things previously to try and not stop my drinking, but to curb it so I wouldn't get so drunk, but nothing worked. I knew deep down that I had to stop completely in order to be released from the clutch of alcohol. AA gave me this gift. I got a sponsor. She took me through the big book, and I started saying yes to invitations when people in the fellowship invited me to a dinner or to come to a camp with them. The support that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me to get through not drinking one day at a time is not something that I have found anywhere else, and I am truly grateful to AA and all the people in it, especially my sponsor and my home group, which is Akron Tuesday Remuera meeting. It'd be great to see you at any meeting. If you're interested in getting sober and want to know a way that works, definitely come into an in-person meeting. Everyone is so supportive. Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks, Louise, for sharing with us. Our last speaker today is Daniel. Daniel, would you like to share your story with us, please?
Yeah, absolutely. My name's Daniel. I'm an alcoholic. Where to start? I'll start with the average share that I usually will do. As you can probably tell from my accent, I was born in the UK. I'm going to say I come from a failed middle-class background. My parents got divorced when I was probably about 10 or 11, from what I can roughly remember. My mum was virulently angry with my dad at the time. And all us four kids stayed with my mother. But even though we didn't have very much money from about there on in for a fair few years, I actually had a pretty happy, social upbringing. I went to a very good high school, had a lot of good friends. And if you've ever watched anything like The Inbetweeners or anything like that, which is really hard to watch, one of the reasons being because you couldn't really paint a closer... Well, you couldn't even make a documentary that actually kind of really explains exactly what it's like growing up in a high school in the UK. Trying to find your own way, gain your independence, find the courage to talk to girls, sneaking into pubs, sneaking into clubs from about 15, 16 onwards is, it's very normal. It's the way of life. Living in the UK, the pub is the way of life. It's just a given. I think I remember in the COVID stuff, listening to the BBC radio over the internet from here in New Zealand, it was one of the biggest issues they seemed to talk about was the fact that when are we going to be able to get back into the pubs? It just made me laugh. Cracked me up. But anyway, so like, you know, fast forward, it's all great, fun and games. Alcohol was definitely a solution to having confidence. I was a very shy kid by my nature when I grew up. Went to university once down in Sussex. Stopped doing that within the year. Physics, probably not the cleverest thing for me to try and do. But socially, it was amazing. Brighton, off the hook. Fatboy Slim, a whole heap of stuff like that at the time. So it probably gives you an indication of my age. And the drinking just continues. Mostly fun. You do some pretty silly stuff. You get hungover. You go again. But we'll fast forward it, I guess, all the way up to 2002. I'm not fully conscious as to why I moved to New Zealand. I know some of the reasons why I could, because my mother is a Kiwi, but she lives in the UK. And I've always had the passport, birth certificate, passport. And I think somewhere in the back of my mind, I was just like, yeah, I just need a change in life. My mum's pretty tough to live with. So I think there's probably a bit of escapism in there when I reflect back on it. I went to uni. I kind of came over here knowing that I was going to go to uni because I kind of scoped out a bit before. So I went to architecture school at Auckland University. Of course, when you're at university, that's more socializing, which is more drinking. Quite a lot of hospitality work along the way, which is a great place for an alcoholic to hang out. But basically, I think if you fast forward it all again, moves away from being fun and sociable, and it starts to become a way of coping and a medication, to where my drinking ended, which is sitting at home, hiding in your bedroom, basically drinking because you can't handle life and everything's unmanageable. I've always had on and off peaks and peaks and troughs with drinking. I have a very good doctor here, and my last bout of heavy drinking, not that it hasn't been light really at any point, I talked to my mum in the UK over the phone, and she said, I want you to go and see the doctor again. I went and saw the doctor, really lovely fella, awesome bedside manner. And before I knew what Alcoholics Anonymous AA was, I kind of reflect back and know that I basically experienced or did a bit of a step one on myself without realizing what it was. The doctor just said, hey, you know, I said, like, you know, my drinking's really bad again, don't know what to do. I'd been through the CADS programs, I'd been through the anti-abuse, I'd been through the psychologist, psychiatrist, quite a lot of stuff, not quite everything like some people have, but a lot of stuff. And he said, how about we go to rehab? And something in my brain just totally gave up. And I just went, yep, that sounds great, whatever you just said. And he taps around his keyboard, and it was like, how about I go out to the Salvation Army Bridge program? And I had no idea what it was. I was like, whatever you just said, we'll do it. I got in there, and I was really, really lucky to get a lady who's, I'm sure she's in her 70s, but I don't want to say that. I don't want to put a number on it. I might get in trouble. fantastic lady. The mum you never had, school teacher, right, the whole thing. She could take a joke, but she'll tell you off all right. And basically, I just proceeded to do everything that I was told because I knew that I just had no idea what I was doing when it came to drinking. I had no control. You know, I think, the whole step one, powerless over alcohol, life is unmanageable. I just, I've learned way more, and I've only been in this for about 20, 21 months. And when I look back on it, I know that that's exactly what it was. She said, go to meetings, get a sponsor, get a home group, get a sponsor with lots of time, get a sponsor with lots of good, clean time. And I eventually, at a meeting I went to a fair few times, which is now my home group, Quakers Mount Eden, 7:30 on a Friday, approached one guy who's about 10 or 11 years, and I said, hey, look, I'm looking for a sponsor. And he said, look, I'm not taking anyone at the moment, but that guy over there. And he pointed to this guy, long beard, not the kind of person I would usually hang out with. And I thought, okay, sweet, it is what it is. And I went over, and I still had no level of commitment. So I said to him, hey, my name's Daniel, I'm looking for a sponsor. And he said, yep, all good. And then had a bit of a chat, went over to some other people, just having a bit of, you know, just mingling a bit as much as I could at the time. And then all of a sudden get a tap on the shoulder and get this big book thrust in my face. And he says, I'll see you on Thursday at 5 o'clock at my place. And I was like, okay. So ever since then, it's been, yeah, like life changing. Best thing that's ever happened in my life. Being guided through the book we call the Big Book, which is literally called Alcoholics Anonymous. Being guided, most importantly, through the 12-step process. Best thing in my life, completely changed the way, or has changed and continues to, because I'm not perfect, not by a million miles, the way I think, the way I behave. And even if I behave badly, and I've done that only this week, in fact, I did it yesterday, I'm far more aware of what I'm up to. And not that I always fix it straight away, but I now can't deny it because I've been shown what it's all about. Every time I walk into a meeting, it's like being at home. It's the people I've been looking for all my life. So, incredibly grateful to have a beautiful man, truly, who's guiding me through the process. And I hope to do the same soon. And just have so many people on hand that understand how I am, and I can walk into a meeting pretty much any time of day, especially in Auckland, and there's no excuses to be there, no icebreakers. We know who we are and what we're there for, but also have an incredibly supportive network of people. So, yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Daniel. And thank you to all of our speakers, Dorian, Louise and Daniel, for joining us in the studio today. And thank you for all of you listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757. That's 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. And finally, could you join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Boy, I love your sister. I got a fear of thunder, 'cause I hate the winter. Through all the distance, all I taste is silence. I'm trying too hard to be forever the one invited. Table, while I'm still crying, I
breathe. I'm here turning tables.